fighting soldier on the back. Lord, I'm a hard fighting soldier. Well, I'm on the back. Lord, I'm a hard fighting soldier. Well, I'm on the back. Well, I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that. Lord, I'm a hard fighting soul. Well, and I'm on. Lord, I'm a hard fighting soul. Well, I'm on the back. Lord, I'm a hard fighting soul. Well, I'm on. Well, I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. And let the church say amen. Amen. Truly, once again, we are just thankful to the God of heaven, who certainly does all things well, for blessing our lives just one more time, causing us to rise this morning from our bedsides and dressing our bodies in the right manner and come on out to the house of worship just one more time. And for that blessing, we are eternally grateful. Truly, we are honored and to be here on this morning. And as I've always stated, when I come here, I feel like I'm just coming on back home. Amen. And truth be known, truth be told, I ain't going to say it. I'll not say it, but I might be coming home. Amen. Amen. We're still thinking. Amen. But we certainly do appreciate the invitation to come. And we always look forward to coming to Hart Street. Enjoy just being around some of God's good folks. Amen. Amen. I hope I don't offend anybody, but I like to call y'all country folks. Amen. Because, see, country folks recognize country folks. And I'm country myself. Amen. Amen. Nothing wrong with being country. Amen. But we're just delighted to be here on this morning. And I don't want to be very long, because I want you to come back this evening. Amen. Now, the old preacher used to say, I'm going to give you some meat this morning. But you come back here this evening, I'm going to give you a little gravy. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. We want to begin with verses number 5 and read through verses number 10. And we appreciate the brethren who have come before us and the reading of the scripture, wording of the prayer, the leading of the songs, and whatever capacity that you have. And get in our minds and prepare in our minds and get in our minds ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul. We certainly do appreciate that. The book of 1 John, the chapter is 1. And I want to read verses number 5 and 6. And maybe 7 for emphasis sake. The Bible said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Said, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I want to use verse number 7 for my text today. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I want to extract the thought today, present it for your consideration as the thought of an imitator of God. an imitator of God. Now, I'd like to use this subject, but first of all, let me get us up to speed. John is writing this epistle to the church, and he's giving them not only some encouragement, but he's giving them warning. He is warning them of false teachers. They had some teaching back then called ghosticism. And ghostmatic teaching simply said that they were taking and using Greek philosophy and using the thought of a Christian and coming up and arriving at the thought that they had a deeper understanding of what Christianity was all about. But I'm about to tell you today, my friend, that God said, that notice what I'll get to it in a minute, but God said that darkness and light has no communion. You can't have darkness and have light. In other words, you can't have the Greek philosophy and Christianity and think they're going to mix, because they will not mix. Just like water and oil, they will not mix. You can stir them up, whip them up, beat them up, turn them upside down, they ain't going to mix. Amen. So they was doing this ghostmatic or ghostotic teaching, if you will. And John then penned this letter to the churches, or this epistle to the churches, and giving them some encouragement and giving them warning to beware of those false teachers. And I tell you today, my friend, I believe that we need to beware of these false teachers, because there's some false teachers out there. Amen. And the Bible said, if you're not careful, they'll creep in unawares. They'll creep in unawares. So we got to be watchful, and we have to be mindful. When I say that we are imitators of God, we ought to be imitators of God. The Bible said, and look in verse number 5 of our text. Now, brethren, y'all know I can't see that well, so I'm going to need y'all to do some reading. Amen. Look at verse number 5. What did it say? Said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Hold it right there. Number one, John is letting them know, the disciples are letting them know that, look, we didn't get this from our own thoughts. We heard this of him. Now we're going to preach it, we're going to teach it, we're going to declare it unto you. So in other words, you know, when you get something from man, sometimes you can start scratching your head and questioning some things. But he said, I got it from him. I got it from God. You see, when you get it from God, you don't have to question it. Read it.
That God is light.
That God is light. See, go ahead, read it.
And in him is no
darkness. And in him there is no darkness at all. This cosmetic teaching was trying to mix God up with this Greek philosophy. And he's letting them know that God said, I'm light. And in me is no darkness at all. I need you to know that. Read verse 6.
If ye say that
if
we
say then that we have fellowship with him.
And walk in darkness.
And we walk in darkness.
We lie.
We lie. In other words, look, John not pulling any punches here. John telling them straight up and down, look here, let me tell you something. You try to mix that old off-the-wall Greek philosophy with Christianity, I got news for you. It don't mix with God. Hey, you telling a lie. You know something? A lot of folk don't like to be called liar. But you know something? If the Bible calls you one,
man.
If God said you were one, because you're not going to make a lie out of him. Truth is truth. Let God be truth. And every man, amen. Read the Bible.
And do not the truth.
Read.
But if we walk in the light.
If we walk in the light. Let me show you the importance of the truth. And the light. Can I show you that? Run over to John chapter 14. And let's get verses 1 through verses number, I'm probably going to read verse number 6. I think I want verse number 6. John chapter 14, verses number 6. But I'll get there in just a moment. But now, John 14, and verses number 6, is telling you here is something very important about the truth. And there's something very important about the light. Amen. I believe over there in John chapter 14, the Bible says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I'm going to come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, what? I am the way. I am what?
The truth.
I am what?
The truth.
And?
The life.
There it is right there. You see how important it is? Christ is the truth. Christ is the light. So we ought to walk in the light so that we can have some truth in our life. What's so important about the truth? John chapter 8, verse number 33-32 said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. We got to have truth in our lives, and we got to have light. We need to be an imitator of God and not an imitator of man. The Bible said in verse number 8 of 1 John chapter 1, it said down in verse number 8, said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Amen. Everybody in here done messed up. I don't care how nice you dress. I don't care how much money you got. It make no difference what kind of car you riding in. You messed up. And I know you messed up. How do I know? Because the Bible say you have. I believe it's Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. That all have sinned. I know you messed up. Because if you hadn't sinned, there was no need in getting in the water. Amen. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we messed up, and we messed up from time to time. So let us not act like that we're so holy than thou that we don't make a mistake. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, you get to, I'm going to help somebody in here this morning.
Amen.
Is that all right? Because see, sometimes when you start dealing with church folk, those of you in here who are not members of the Lord Church, I want to tell you something. Just don't think because there are folk in here that's members, you come here that they perfect. But I want you to know they not.
Amen.
Live, some of them live are just as raggedy as an old sock. Amen, light bulbs. I know, I understand. I know. But it is the truth. Because you see, sometimes you come up in the church, you think you got to be perfect when you come in here. Don't be, you ain't got to be perfect when you come in here because the ones in here ain't perfect. There's only one perfect one, and that's Jesus Christ. You come in here, it's just like coming to a hospital. There ain't no need in going to the hospital if you're not sick. Is that all right? You come to the church, you come to Christ to help heal your sin sick soul. You would be perfect sitting up in here perfect. Amen. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. Amen. I try to imitate God because God is perfect. I try to imitate him, but see, I fall short. Way short. But I do the best that I can. See, that's what we're all striving to do. Just do the best we can. Do the best that God give you the ability to do. And imitate God in everything. And I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, what that means is you learn how to humble yourself. humble yourself that when you make a mistake, you ask God to forgive you. Through godless sorrow. What are you saying through godless sorrow? That means you're sorry that you've done that thing. You know, sometimes I think about some people, some of these politicians and things. Y'all know, sometimes you see them on the TV, standing before the behind the podium in front of the TV camera. Y'all, I made a mistake. And I want to y'all to forgive me and apologize. But you know something I know? That ain't nothing but an old fake apology. You know how I know it? Because he wouldn't apologize if he hadn't got caught. Am I right? But you see, if he was truly sorry, if he was truly wanting to get that thing right, you'll see a different kind of person. Mm-hmm. You'll see somebody that's almost in tears. Sorry for what I've done. I sinned before God. I sinned before you, God. I want you to forgive me of my sin. The Bible said he's faithful and he's just to forgive you. Let me tell you something. You hadn't done anything so bad that God can't forgive you for.
Amen.
You ain't done anything so bad, Brother Holman. I cheated on my wife. Well, you know what? That's bad. And if you live, ask God for forgiveness. Amen. He'll forgive you. Now, she might not, but God will forgive you. Is that all right? Amen. Wife that cheated on the husband, same thing. If you live, I'm just saying. And you know, I say this much, amen, that I can't condone violence. I can't condone that, you know, somebody jumping on somebody because they done whatever. I don't condone that at all. But later, sometime I can say, I understand. Amen. I don't condone it, but I understand sometime. Amen. Be ye imitators of God. You know, I'm just about done, y'all, but you know something? I get excited by when I think about imitating God.
Yeah.
One aspect, if we imitated God in this one aspect, I have several to deliver, but I'm not going to do it this morning. I'm going to stay short because I want you to come back here this evening and get some grace. Amen. This is meat this morning.
All right.
That being imitators of God, if we imitated God in this one aspect, we can't beat God. We can't get close to God as far as what this aspect that I'm talking about, but we can do the best we can. We can imitate him.
Man.
Is that all right? If we can do this one thing, you know something? The world will be a better place.
Amen.
Your Christianity, your Christian life will be a great thing. Let me tell you what it is. We ought to imitate God and be imitators of God of God's love. See, if we had God's love and we imitated God's love, the world would be a better place. The church would be a better place. Your Christian life would be a better life. You know something? There's nothing wrong. I always like to preach about love. I always like to preach about the Christian life because the two go hand in hand.
Amen.
Let's get some Bible. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7 and verse number 8. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and verse number 8. Now, I believe we all here know what the word imitator or imitator means. And if we don't, let me give you a little definition. The definition of the word imitator is to imitate. And to imitate means to follow as a pattern, as a model or example, to copy, to be or appear like. Amen. That's what it means to imitate. And let me give you another example. Now see, sometimes these politically correct definitions, sometimes they're really good. But then sometimes folk don't quite understand. See, you got to break it down so everybody can understand. Is that all right? What do you mean? Let me show you what happened. Yeah, it was several years ago that we used to pull out that old white bag. And mama would dip down in that thing when she done made some tea. And she would dip down in there and pour that sugar over in that tea. And she done it while it was still hot, y'all.
Yes.
Amen. And she poured it in that tea. And I noticed, kept noticing she just kept dipping and kept pouring. And I'm thinking, are we going to have tea or are we going to have syrup? Amen. But that's all right. right? It was good to me. Is that right? But years later, on down the road, they came out with this powder and said that, you know what? This imitates, this tastes just like the real thing. Well, I tasted that. It was an imitation of the real thing.
Man.
But it was not the real thing.
Man.
Is that all right? See, when you imitate somebody, let me show you something there. I don't know if it's any carpenters in the house, but I'm going to try to explain this thing so everybody can understand.
All right.
When you get ready to build a house, you go out and you dig around the circumference of the house, and they call that thing a footer or the foundation. Is that right?
That's
you
right.
Put these boards inside of that trench. They call that the forms or the form boards inside of that trench that you dug. They take the concrete and pour it inside of the form, and the concrete conforms to the form.
Man.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
When the concrete dry, they take a hammer and knock the boards away, the form boards away. Your concrete is not the form. The form is not the concrete, but the concrete is just like the form.
Man.
Is that all right?
Man.
That's how we imitate God.
Amen.
Is that right? And now look over there. I believe it was 1 John I wanted. I believe it was 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. What did the Bible say?
Beloved.
Say, beloved.
Let us not love another.
Let us love one another.
For love is
of God.
And
everyone that loveth is begotten of God or born of God.
Man.
Read.
Who does not love
and knoweth God. Verse 8.
For God is love.
God. That's what I want right there.
Man.
For God is love. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something, my friend. God be in love. Look over there. Somebody get from me 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want verses 1 through 3. I want you to understand that out of love, out of the obedience, and out of love should motivate all of us to do whatsoever God has commanded. It shouldn't be because we are forced to. It shouldn't be because we feel like it's out of necessity to obey God's commandment, but we ought to do it because we love Him. Why? Because He loved us first. Yes, He did. He loved us first. I'm glad He loved me.
Amen.
What did the Bible say? So what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3? What did Paul say?
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels.
Uh-huh.
But have not love.
But have not love. Now, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men or of angels, and I not love.
I
sound just like a old clanging cymbal. Tink, 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 tink. Sounding brass. That's what he said. He said, if I don't have love, I can have all of these different voices, speak with these different tongues, but if I have love, I ain't nothing but some, sound like some, nothing but some old cymbals and brass. Read.
And though I have the gift of prophecy.
He said, I may even have the gift of prophecy.
And understand all the mysteries.
I have some great understanding. I'm almost just as wise as Solomon was. Read.
And all knowledge.
All that knowledge I have. Read.
And though I have all faith.
I may have the greatest faith that anybody's ever had. Read.
So that I could remove mountains.
I can just, my faith will move mountains out of the place. Read.
But have not love.
If I don't have love,
I am nothing.
You know why? Because God is love.
Man.
That's why. That's why. Amen. Now let's move on very quickly. Now I got to get on through this thing very quickly. Let me tell you something. Love is the very essence of God's moral nature.
Amen.
Love is the essence of God's moral nature. It is His nature to love.
Amen.
How do you know? Y'all remember when God looked down at this world at one time, saw the wickedness of men, He sent a flood, told Noah to build an ark. You know, he could have destroyed the whole world and just said, well, I ain't even going to worry about it no more. But he had love in his heart. Found favor in a man named Noah. Told him to build an ark. And what? Let me tell you, can I drop this off while I'm flying over?
Yes,
you know, they ought to cut this nonsense out, making these movies, the movie what they call Noah. I went and saw that thing and wanted my money back. Amen. Nothing can be further from the truth. I tell people all the time, you don't have to go and see the movie, just read the book. Now, we you know, that's the moral essence. God is love, and it is his nature. He told them to build that ark. He looked down and saw the wickedness of men, but he had love for man and mankind. So he told Noah to build an ark. He beckoned them to get on the ark, and they wouldn't get on. But let me tell you something, my friend. He's beckoning, calling with us, calling and pleading with us today to be saved. He's telling you, I made a way for you. And because through my love, I made a way for you. Mm-hmm. Let me show you something there. God demonstrates his love in the gift of his son, Jesus Christ.
Man.
And let me tell you something else, too. The sacrifice, a sacrifice is the measure of love. Does that make sense? Whatever you can sacrifice, or you're willing to sacrifice, that is your measure of your love. I remember a long time ago, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I remember a long time ago, see, like I told you a while ago, I ain't perfect either. I remember a long time ago that there was a man by the name of Keith Sweat that asked a question. He said, how deep is your love? I know what kind of song that is. But I just want to believe that we ought to ask ourselves that question. Not in the sense that he was talking, but in the sense unto God. How deep is your love to God? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself for him?
Amen.
He gave the greatest sacrifice of all. John chapter 3, verse number 16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then he goes on to say something else. He said, for he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him
Amen.
Might be saved. That's love. That's love, y'all.
Amen.
He loved you, and he still loves you. You know how I know he still loves you? He still gives you breath every day. You're still here and able to get up.
Amen.
You're still able to come to the house of worship.
Amen.
You might not feel good. Knee might be bothering. Ankle might be bothering. Leg might be bothering. Back might be bothering. Head might be hurting. But that's all right. You still decided to come and worship him.
Amen.
Look over there in Romans chapter 5 at verse number 8. The Bible said, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that all right? Now, my question is, how then can we imitate the love of God? Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. It's going to tell us how we can imitate God's love. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. What did the Bible say?
For this is the love.
For this is the love.
Of God.
Of God.
That we keep the commandments.
That we keep the commandments.
And his commandments.
And his commandments are not grievous. What are you saying? If you want to imitate the love of God, keep his commandments. That's how you do it. You keep his commandments. In giving ourselves to the greatest task that God has given, and that is that we ought to try to save the world. Let me tell you something, y'all. We don't have to go out and one man go out and try to convert a million people. You know what? I had a program installed at Cumming Street. Hey, man, when I was there, at each one reach one. Somebody you see every day. Somebody you call friend. Might be your neighbor. Might be the cashier at the store. Each one reach one. And you know what I told them? If each one reach one, we'd be double our size in a year. The church will grow. See, it doesn't take you having to convert 10,000 people by yourself. Just reach one at a time. You know something I heard? I heard a story told one time that said the church needed $1,000. They had 10 members. Each member could give $100 to achieve the goal of 1,000. If I'm one of the 10 members, my concern is not the 1,000. My concern is the 100. That's my part. Is that all right? Because brother Daniel, if I do my part and you do your part, brother Powell, you do your part, the 1,000 gonna be all right. All we got to worry about is our 100. What are you saying? If I just do my part, we can save the world. Is that all right? If everyone just do your part. The problem is sometimes we don't want to do our part. Sometimes we want to sit back on our beds of ivory and lay back and want everything just be rolled nice and smooth. And if you're not careful, sometimes you'll roll smooth right on into hello somebody. We don't want to sometimes make that sacrifice. But I want you to understand that the sacrifice is the measure of your love. How deep is your love for God? God gave it all for us. He gave his son to die that death upon the cross, that through his burial, and resurrection, we all may have a right to everlasting life. We ought to try to save the world. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. We ought to sacrifice ourselves. Look in Romans chapter 12, verses number 1 and 2. I'm fixing to sit down, y'all. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says what? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Read.
And do not be conformed to this world.
Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. In other words, be imitators of God. When you, first of all, let me tell you one thing you have to do. In order to be an imitator of God, the number one thing you have to do, you have to deny yourself. You got to get yourself out the way. Deny yourself. Then take up your cross and follow him. You can't be an imitator of God by trying to be an imitator of the devil. Because see, sometimes we mix, we try to mix what's holy with that which is carnal. With that which is spiritual. See, carnality and spirituality is like water and oil. They won't mix. You can't straddle the fence. You remember he said, I'd rather you be either hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, he said, you make me sick. Amen. If you're just lukewarm, you make me sick because I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what he said. Some of us want to straddle the fence like we're riding an old horse. Well, I want to get over here on God's side. But as soon as temptation come along, let me get a little bit on the devil's side. But see, you can't be on God's side and on the devil's side. You got to choose God all the time. Is that all right? He gave the ultimate sacrifice for you. Deny yourself. Become humble as a lamb. You see, I remember reading somewhere where God sent his son down to this earth. And he died that shameful death upon the cross. While he was here, he done no wrong. He, the Bible said, he had no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. While he was here on this earth, I remember that there was a man that was blind from his mother's womb. And I remember that the Bible said that he knelt down, he spit on the ground, made clay out of the spittle, took that clay and wiped it in the blind man's eye, told the blind man to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. And when he went down to the pool, the Bible said he came away sin. I tell you, my friend, I remember reading somewhere where there was a man that had a palsy. And he would land out there, and he couldn't move. And he said, sir, I have no man. He looked at him and said, I want you to get up, take up your cloak, and I want you to walk. The man, the Bible said that the man, not only did he walk, but he was running. You see, I remember reading somewhere where there was a storm on the sea. Is that all right? And the Son of God was asleep in the belly or the hinder part of the ship. I remember reading somewhere that the old ship was tossed both to and fro. They ran down to him and said, Master, cares not that we perish. And I'd imagine that the Lord, when you woke him up out of his sleep, he was none too happy. Is that all right? And he walked upon the deck of their ship. He spoke to the wind and rebuked the raging sea, said, peace, be still. And the wind stopped blowing. Peace, be still. And the sea was calm. They looked around and said, what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea, they obey him? I read in the Bible where the God sent him out on the side of God, got the hill one day where he was nailed to the tree of the cross. He done it for you. He done it for you, and he done it for me. Is that right? I know that through that humility and through the love of God, I understood even this day, I understand what it means to be humble. I understand that when I woke up this morning, that I didn't get up under my own power, but it was by the love of the Almighty God. Is that all right? I realized that when I got out of the bed, I got down on my knees and I prayed this morning that it wasn't under my own power, but it was by the love of the Almighty God. Is that right? I understand that when I got in the shower, put my suit on this morning, that it wasn't by my own power, but it was under the love of the Almighty God. I realized this one thing as I got in my car and I drove up the highway this morning, that it wasn't by my own power, but it's by the love of the Almighty God. When I got up to exit 53 this morning and see where a car done hit the retaining wall and I was sitting in the traffic wondering what was going on, I thank God for the love that he showed me. Is that all right? When I got up here this morning and I got out of my car and I didn't have any hurt nor harm done to me, I realized it wasn't by my own power, but it was under the love of the Almighty God. I realized that when I came into the church building this morning and was able to see the face of the saints this morning, that it wasn't nothing I have done, but it was by the love of the Almighty God. I'm not standing here this morning preaching unto you under my own power, but it's by the love of the Almighty God. Amen. I gotta quit. This thing. Amen. Yes, we got to humble ourselves and be imitators of God. Imitate God in his love. imitate God. You know something? Sometimes, you know, you might not even really like a person. Y'all know I like to keep it real. Amen. You might even like a person sometimes. But love for God ought to cause you to love him. I remember he said over there somewhere, because I love God, I love my brother. Amen. We ought to love one another with a godly love. We need to humble ourselves and realize that we can do nothing without the love of God. We ought to obey him. We ought to obey his commandments. If you're here and you're not a member of the church, you ought to be one today. Because you know something? If you're not the member of the Lord's church, you're just like those people back in Noah's day, just standing outside of the ark of safety. Amen. You're standing outside of the ark. You're not in the ark. So when the storm comes, when the rains descend, and when the wind blows, when the lightning comes, you're not going to have a shelter in the time of a storm. You'll be standing alone. And that's a dangerous place to be standing. You need to be standing with the Lord. How do I become a member of the Lord's church? You come, you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, how he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And after you've heard that gospel of Christ, you then must believe it. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he to come to God must believe that he is. He's rewarded them that diligently seek him. And after you believe it, you must be willing to repent of your sins. Repent means to turn. To turn or burn. That's the only two choices you have, according to the scripture. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, he said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then be willing to stand before men, Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, and confess Christ to be the Son of God. The greatest confession that you could ever make, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Brother Holman, what? I don't have to testify? You ain't got nothing to testify about. Brother Holman, what? I don't need to tell a Christian experience? You ain't a Christian. You can't tell one. So you mean to tell me all I need to do is just say I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's all the confession you need to make. If you make more than that, you done made too much. If you don't make that, you don't make enough. Then be willing to go down into the liquid tomb, the watery grave of baptism. Be buried with him, Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4. Be buried with the Lord in baptism. And be resurrected, therefore, to walk in the newness of life. Your old sins, all those things that you've done, have been washed away. The things that people know about and the things that folk don't know about. Even the things you think folk don't know about that they do. All those things are washed away. You will rise a new creature in Christ. Behold, old things have passed away. All things will have become new again. Isn't that something? Man, remember it to the day you die. You do him some wrong. Take some money from him. And that's exactly right. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Do something to them. They'll never forget it to the day they die or you die. But you know something? God is just. Through godless sorrow, you ask him to forgive you. He'll wipe it out of the book of remembrance. And he'll remember it no more. When you go down in that liquid tomb of baptism, it's just like taking your life and starting all over again. Just like you're a new babe in Christ. Will you come to him today? Will you come? Brother Holman, what do I have to do after I'm baptized? I mean, because, you know, it's a lot of folks here this morning, Brother Holman, and I don't know quite what to do. I'll tell you what you do. In a minute, just a moment, I'm going to sing the song. We're going to sing a song. And you, when I ask you to stand, just stand and walk out in the aisle. Come on down the aisle, give me your hand, but give God your heart. You stand here and you make your confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll take you to the back, get you ready, put you in the water. We'll baptize you today. Every Sunday is baptism Sunday. You got to wait on a baptism Sunday. Monday is baptism Sunday. Tuesday is baptism Sunday. You call Brother Daniel, Brother Pryor, somebody come up here to the church house, take your confession, they'll baptize you. And we'll baptize you today. Brother Holman, you mean it's that simple? It's that simple. It's that simple. Don't worry about your hair. Worry about your soul. You know, some people, they say, I ain't getting my hair wet. Worry about your hair. Worry about your soul. Worry about your soul. Well, I you know, Brother Holman, I realized that I hadn't been coming like I should. I hadn't been as faithful as I should. I hadn't been doing the things that God would have me to do. You know what? We all have been there. We all make mistakes from time to time. Don't be so ashamed that you won't get it right with God. Get it right with Him. Just come down and confess your fault, the Bible said, one to another. Then request the prayer of the righteous, because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man, the Bible said, it availeth much. Will you come? If you just need prayer, we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. The Bible said, through prayer and supplication, just let your request be made known unto God. Will you come to Him? You know, time is winding up. Every day that you live, you're getting one day closer to death. I look at these young people. Y'all have a good crop of young men and young ladies, beautiful young folks. But you know something, young folks, I'm going to tell you something. Every day that you live, you're getting a day closer to death. Nobody said you was going to make it to be 85 years old before you pass. You may not make it through tomorrow. You may not, and as dangerous as time we live in, you may not make it good out of this church building today. Is that all right? Remember that. Remember, you're going to have to die one day. Why don't you do something about it while the blood is still running warm in your vein? Will you come? In my vein, Lord, it's in my vein. Well, it's in my vein, Lord, in my vein. Now, while the blood is running warm down in my vein, oh, Lord, in my vein. Well, it's in my vein, Lord, it's in my vein. It's in my vein. Why don't you walk out today? Why don't you come to Him today? While the blood is running warm down in your vein. Well, in my vein, Lord, is in my vein. God bless you. In my, come to the Lord today. In my vein, Lord, in my vein. Now, while the blood is running down in my, will you come to Him? We're going to sing now. Well, and I'm going to sing just a little over here. And I'm going to sing just a little over. Well, now while the blood is running, come to the Lord today. Vain, oh Lord, in my vein, well, it's in my vein, Lord, in my well, it's in my, come to Him. We don't know where death is. Would you ought to do something about it today? While that blood is running warm in your vein, let's say it again. In my vein, well, it's in my vein, Lord, it's in, come to Him. He's standing at your heart's door and He's knocking. If any man open, He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. You ought to do it today. While the blood is yet running warm in your vein, you may be seated. In my, oh Lord, is in my vein. Lord, is in my vein. Is in my.